Hey, welcome to the Center of the Saint. I'm Melissa Bell.
And I'm Allison Kay.
We are having so much fun today with our new microphones, which then turned into our new microphone, because we cannot figure out how to get them both working. And so I am breathing on her with peanut butter breath. Save your friend Allison. Somebody reach out and help a sister out.
Yes. It's not her breath, though. It's not her breath. It's I'm quite sure it's Satan. But we're not letting him win.
Heck no, girl. We ain't got no time to listen to his mess.
Because this week, as we finish up 4 in Joshua, our week 4 of cool lessons learned for all leaders, all women, all people, is about do not waver.
So we shall not waver.
We shall not waver.
The show must go on.
That's right. So, of course, this it kind of seems obvious, right? Good leaders don't waver. They don't, you know, become afraid to lead. They don't, you know, they're confident in who God says they are. Yeah, they keep their eyes on God, blah, 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 right? All good things. I don't mean to blah, 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 blah it. But we were wondering and considering, we know the facts, but what keeps us from wavering, or what causes us to waver, is
it
the better question.
Started with a little question I sent Allison, and I said, "Fear or faith? Which one are you feeding?"
And I answered her.
She said, "Oh, was that a question for me?"
I thought that was a question specifically for me, not a podcast topic. So this is the question. How do you keep from wavering? And it is remaining stronger in your faith and feeding your faith.
Yes.
More than you're feeding the fear.
Yes. And probably focusing on God and his character, who and what he's capable of versus what we are standing in front of.
Sometimes it looks really scary as you're standing on the edge of the cliff. And you have to take, you know, it's like, I got to take this step of trust. Did you ever watch Indiana Jones?
I'm sure, but my family will tell you. I mean, I can kind of picture them wearing khakis and like swinging on a rope. But if you're asking for details, I got nothing.
Because, you know, y'all maybe heard us refer to this before, but like, I love stuff like Indiana Jones, Navy SEALs, all this adventure, like superhero kind of thing. Love 007, James Bond. Anyway, back to the story. I can't remember which one of the Indiana Jones movies, but he's always working on this puzzle. And he gets to
also likes puzzles. I do. I don't like puzzles either.
I do. He's standing on the edge of this cliff. And he actually has to take a step, and it looks like there's not a step there.
Oh my gosh, I'm holding my breath right now.
Yes.
Because now I can visualize this.
Can you? Okay, you're following. So he actually has, it's kind of biblical. I don't know if they did this on purpose with Indiana Jones, probably not. He has to take a step, and I think he closes his eyes, and anyway, there's a step there, and it shows up.
After.
And he feels it, but he has to take that leap of faith.
Before it shows up.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so that's like that faith versus fear factor.
Ooh, speaking of fear factor, that was a good show too.
It was. I'd prefer not to eat things.
I'm not eating those bugs. I'll do everything else, but.
You probably would. You probably would. I feel like nowadays people are feeding more of their fear than they are their faith.
Yeah, and it's subconscious. It's kind of like when you take a bag of chips instead of a bowl of chips, you take the bag of chips, and next thing you know, you've eaten the entire bag of chips. That is social media, friends. That is social media.
That's a good analogy, too. We're on the analogy train today.
We are. It's better than the crazy train I walked in on.
Well, I think, so I've been thinking a lot about how do we refocus? How do we turn away from fear? Because it does cause us to waver. It does put just chips in our armor, right? The armor of God, in our confidence, in our security, in our faith. That's what fear does. And it's really the root of a lot of our problems, a lot of our sins, a lot, most all things. Like if you can think about one thing you're worried about and you go backwards, then you're pretty much going to, it's going to go backwards into, I'm afraid of people thinking less of me. I'm afraid of being a failure. It goes back to fear.
Yeah.
And so it's really crucial that we look at fear, stand up to fear, look it in the eyes, like the demon that it is.
And call it out.
Call it out. I actually just said this to some people yesterday. I have times where I have to say out loud, get behind me, Satan. You have no power in me. I'm a child of God. Because the fear and the thoughts of, you know, the fears and insecurities can be so overwhelming.
Yeah. And, you know, some of our fears are based on life experiences. We just talked about this today.
Yes.
I had a reaction this morning to something that was going on in my life. And to 99% of the world, it would look like it was a complete overreaction. But for the people that have walked in my shoes, like, and been down the road that I've been down, it's not an overreaction at all.
No.
It is fear of the known. Not the unknown. It's fear of the known of what I've...
And what you have known.
Yes.
In the past and experienced personally.
Yes. And so it's a matter then of taking that fear that is substantiated and like holding it to God and trusting God that God is going to work this out, right?
And do a new thing with it.
Right.
And not continue the old thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't handle this on a very biblical level.
This takes effort, dedication, discipline. Obedience. It's not easy work.
No, it's so much easier just to like do what I've always done, honestly.
Sure.
And then drink a little to like numb it.
Right. I mean, yes, it's easier once we get into these patterns that we've been in to just be like, yeah, okay. I see it. Yes, it's a problem, but oh my gosh. Just exhausting to think about, exhausting to think about working through to get to the other side. Like, it's fine. Have a sangria and
go to sleep.
Go to sleep and do it again tomorrow. Yeah. Fine. It seems easier. But we're not getting better when we do that.
Right. And we're not really living out this whole trusting God thing.
Right.
One verse that I found probably, I don't know when it was, maybe beginning of the year. It's in Isaiah 7:9, and it said, unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at God and saying like, God, help me do this. And he's like, I would love to, but first you got to let me help you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So for me, it's about just always being seeped in God's word and God's truths and calling out the things that I know from the past that I need to like compare to the truth of God. And it doesn't, you can't just do it once and then it's gone. Like you have to continually bring it out again.
Ugh, like rip the scab off.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's not fun. Let us just tell you. But eventually there's no more blood coming out of the wound when you rip off the scab and you realize that it's healed.
That's really graphic.
For lack of a better analogy.
I liked my potato chip analogy better.
but let's be honest. I mean, it does feel like a wound when we're doing this. I mean, you are rehashing a wound. That's what you were experiencing.
Which came out of the blue. And I mean, it is an old thing I've never thought about. And I have reacted based on this experience years and years ago. I've reacted all of my life, but today the connection was made. Mm. Someone said, that's an overreaction. I said, let me tell you how many times I've had to deal with this. My firsthand experience, you'll never understand. Mm-hmm. And so it was realizing that that was the root of my reaction all these years. And had I dealt with it all these years ago, life may have been a little more peaceful. I don't know.
But... you realized it today.
I did realize it today. And
we're always a work in progress.
I literally looked at you when I came and I said, I am exhausted and I don't want to deal with this, but I just need somewhere to go cry for a while.
Yeah. And we do need that sometimes. You know, there are times when it is up to us to, you know, I think it was a Grey's Anatomy where when they were going into those giant surgeries, they would stand there with their hands on their hips like superheroes, and they just had to channel their inner superhero for a minute before going into a challenging situation or feeling a prep. I mean, sometimes I do that. It's like, I am a superhero. With God, I'm a superhero. I laughed with someone yesterday. I was like, I think I might need to start wearing a cape. Maybe we all need to wear capes and it will help us get there. But with Him, we can feel stronger and bolder and safer and more courageous to tackle those things that are really challenging and hard to face and difficult to get over. And we get frustrated.
Yeah.
Because it's not something, it's been so ingrained in us, or it's so much a part of us, and it's lived with us for so long in our hearts and minds and our behavior and personality and reactions, that it doesn't just disappear with one acknowledgement of right. its existence. I wish it was that easy.
I agree. And I can acknowledge it, and then I can just choose it again.
Right.
Like, you know, addiction runs really strong in my family. So I fight a lot of times with myself. Like, do you really need to have that drink? And so I go back and forth testing myself to make sure that I'm not becoming someone that drinks too much, because it is easy with the life that I've lived, with the stuff that goes on in my life, to just have a drink every day. But I have had to learn and set something to catch myself or check myself and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why didn't you have a drink yesterday? Why are you drinking right now? To the point where now, like, God and I are on a new path. And my question now is this honoring God? So getting back to how do we, you know, feed the faith and not the fear. Right now, my question, no matter what I'm doing, this thought, is this honoring to God?
Mm.
Okay. That's my check. That's my stop, the, you know, put the brakes on. Is what I'm getting ready to eat, is that honoring to God, to the temple that God gave me? To house the Holy Spirit. I know that's real dramatic for some of you people. That's, I mean, all right.
Does He like chocolate in the temple?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm pretty sure. I think He's good as long as you.
Everything in moderation?
Well, that, but also you have to be good to yourself. Okay.
Right.
So like if you were to go eat a donut, would you be okay with that?
No.
What would you do?
I would feel guilty.
And then what would you do?
Nothing.
I would berate myself. For 8 hours.
Oh.
8 or 10 hours, there would be a mental berating going on. And so that's
mine would
not
be hard, like, right? An hour.
No, I'm hardcore girl.
Mm, you are. You take it all the way.
And so I know this about myself. And maybe one day I'll get past that and be able to go enjoy something like that. But that is not how it's raised. And that is not how my mind works right now. And so this is my stopping point, right?
Wow.
So
I think what's cool about this to consider is there's so many layers to this and how we've grown up. Like for me, I had this realization within the past year that I have a family member who I have spent my entire life basically running a PR campaign for and protecting his image to other people in the family.
Uh-huh.
And not that they were mean or whatever, like to me or what, anyway, just maybe not the nicest to others. And so I was always running interference for this person because I didn't want others. I wanted others to see this person the way I saw them.
Right.
Which wasn't my job.
Not your job.
Ooh, not your familiar. Job. See, there's a reason we talk about these things. Not your job. Not my job. I couldn't control it. It took a lot of energy. And I took on, as a little girl and a young adult and all this impossible job that was exhausting.
Yeah.
And was never going to be successful. So frustrating too.
Right.
And also got blamed and condemned and treated unfairly and talked about, you know.
Yeah.
By other family members because I did it. Because they just lumped me in to that category, per se. So realizing these things, sometimes, graciously, God knows we can't handle it all at one time. He will gradually peel away these layers of our onion.
Yeah.
Right? And of our lives and our personalities and these recorded, I don't know, patterns that mm-hmm. we have had going on in our minds since we were children and young adults. And then he helps us work through them. Because I think the beauty is that there's so many amazing things, no matter how broken our families may be or have been, or the things that we went through, they're always blessings from families. And we have the choice as we grow older to stop the negative legacies and focus on the good things and continue those on.
Yes.
And that is what good leaders do.
Yes. But you can't do it alone. And you can't do it by ignoring what's happening around you. And please hear me say this. Probably if you're chasing after the truth in a true relationship with God, you're not going to have a million fans.
Facts.
You're going to have a lot of people that discredit you or that think you're crazy or that think it's ridiculous or silly. But when the more time you spend sitting in God's word and knowing who he is and what he says, the more you're going to want to sit with him and the less everyone's noise is going to matter in your life. It just slowly goes away and you stop caring.
Yeah, it's true.
I call it the I don't give up button.
I mean, it truly is. I mean, we read about in scripture this peace that surpasses all understanding. And I feel as if recently it's like, oh my gosh, I get it. This is what I've been reading about for 40 some years.
Yeah.
Holy cow, this is a thing. It is possible and it is real and it is from him. I think, you know, too, when we as leaders, when we take the time to manage, to consider, to reflect, to grow, to process through these things, then our relationships and our interactions with people aren't as fragile.
Oh, that is such a good word.
You know, yeah. Because remember, like last week when we were talking, I said, are you good? And you said, I'm good. I'm going to be fine. And I said, I feel like you have a magic shell. Do y'all remember that old school, that ice cream topper? It's like this liquidy chocolate, but you put it on your ice cream and it solidifies. But it's very thin.
Yeah.
And I said, I feel like you kind of have a magic shell coating on you, but the tiniest little thing is going to cause it to break and your ice cream is going to spill through.
Yeah.
You know, and we all do that. We all cover things up and but unfortunately, a lot of times it's just this little magic shell coating and the smallest thing happens and we erupt. And it's not from that actual circumstance or based on that person's response to us or their action.
It was the 30 things leading up to it.
Yes. And our inability or unwillingness to focus on and deal with what's going on in our hearts.
Now hear us say this. There are times when you have to put the magic shell coating on.
Yes.
But for a brief moment. At some point, you got to eat the ice cream. Okay. Right. So, I mean, I literally said to you, I was like, yes, mm-hmm. you are true. There is not a moment of space in my life right now to handle it. But then you can say, please make sure I go back and do that.
Yes. Just like you said, I need to just go and I need to cry it out and process it all.
Yeah. And I still don't have the space. I got at least another week until I have the space.
But she's waiting for the moment. And the important thing is, in a week, it can be difficult for us to, we can have moved past it. Yeah. We cannot stuff it back under and think, oh, I just have to move on to the next thing now. It is so important not to do that. Those things get stuck in our hearts. And trust me, you will have to go back and dig it out again. Just do it now.
And this is exactly where we're talking about, where it was good to have a tribe. Because your people need to know that they can, you know, call you out on that kind of stuff. Not even call you out, but
just
like
hold you accountable to be there.
Yeah. Now, I remember there were a couple things we talked about with the leaders and their being unwavering faith, and what were the characteristics that got them there?
Well, they were confident in who God said they were. They were confident in who God created them to be, and they were keeping their eyes on God. I would say also, Gypsy does not like this topic, by the way. She must be feeling some anxiety from her past. I would say it is also confidence in who God says he is.
Yes, 100%. But if you're not reading the Bible, then how do you know who God says he is? You can't go off of what anybody else says, right?
Absolutely. Hey, we know this is a lot and these are hard things, but we just pray that you will take that time to, when the Lord reveals these things to you, dig deeper. They're not fun. Sometimes they're painful, but get a buddy, get a counselor, work through it. We're doing a selfie right now. We'll post that later. We thank you so much for joining us this week on The Sinner and the Saint, and we look forward to next week's topic. It is going to be on comparison and how we all struggle with that. We'll look forward to being with you then on The Sinner and the Saint.